Welcome to Vanguard Radio. This is Marcelo Sugdeo. The government to push back delivery date for the new fighter jets. Canadian Rangers losing out on health benefits. And here at Vanguard, we are gearing up to host the Shipbuilding Technology Forum 2018. The Royal Canadian Air Force may have to keep its aging CF-18s airborne even longer than already expected, after industry sources warned on Wednesday of this week that the Trudeau government is planning to push back the delivery date of its new fleet of fighters. Word of the likely delay comes with the government moving ahead with the purchase of used fighter jets from Australia as a temporary stopgap alongside of its existing CF-18s, rather than the original plan of buying a brand new set of Super Hornets from the U.S. aerospace giant Boeing. But the government is also wrestling with how best to sell Canadians on the idea of the used jets, mindful of the disaster that followed the purchase of the second-hand British submarines back in the 1990s. The Liberal government said last year that it planned to start receiving new fighter jets in about 5 years or around 2021, at which point the phase-out of the CF-18s will begin. But several sources told the Canadian press that defense officials now don't expect the first of the 88 new fighters to be delivered for another 8 years, putting the new time frame around 2026. This decision could have major financial implications, and even adding more money into the CF-18s to keep them in service longer than planned. National Defense had already planned to spend up to $500 million to keep the 76 CF-18s flying to 2025. But previous estimates have said extending past that date would be very expensive. Some are even also wondering whether the Liberals, who promised to launch a formal fighter jet competition to replace the CF-18s before the 2019 election, now plan to hold off until after Canadians go to the polls. Retired military officers and defense experts alike say a competition, which latest estimates say would be worth up to $19 billion, could be launched right away, and urge the Liberals to take that step rather than waiting several more years. Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan would not comment about this on when the competition would be launched, saying that only that it would be announced at the appropriate time. In the meantime, government and industry sources say that Liberals have settled on buying used jets from Australia. The original plan to buy 18 Super Hornets at an estimated cost of $6 billion, was shutted out after Boeing triggered a bitter trade dispute with Bombardier earlier this year. The Australian plan does have its advantages. The aircraft will almost certainly be cheaper than the Super Hornets, and that's the new Super Hornets, and easier to incorporate into Canada's existing fleet, since they are nearly identical to the CF-18 and won't require new training or infrastructure. But the Australian jets are 30 years old, the same as our CF-18s. Now, the Australian planes come with another built-in advantage, according to David Perry, defense analyst. He said that Canada has long since learned how to keep them in service. We've proven to be very good, out of necessity, at keeping them flying for quite some time now, Perry said. But at the end of the day, when you're buying heavily used 30-year-old aircraft, you're buying heavily used 30-year-old aircraft, he said. The Department of National Defense and the Canadian Armed Forces are failing to ensure that Canadian Rangers are receiving health care benefits and entitlements available to other reservists, according to Canada's military watchdog in a report that was released recently. Gary Walborn, the National Defense and Canadian Armed Forces Ombudsman, launched an investigation in 2016 aimed at figuring out why many Canadian Rangers don't receive the health care benefits that they're entitled to. In his final report based on that investigation, he found that Rangers often don't report injuries sustained while they're on duty and don't know about benefits they're entitled to from Veterans Affairs Canada or even how to apply for them. He said respondents interviewed who self-identified as having sustained an injury while on duty were subsequently asked if they had considered submitting a form or a claim to Veterans Affairs Canada, and the vast majority responded that they did not, he said in his 31-page report. The most common reason for this lack of awareness among Rangers about the benefits available to them, Walburn said. In his report, he also found that Rangers are reservists, but Armed Forces policies and orders regarding their health care benefits are inconsistent and ambiguous. Secondly, he found that within the chain of command, the physical and psychological fitness of Rangers is not formally monitored or assessed. Thirdly, the illness and injuries of Rangers who are on duty are not consistently reported or adequately tracked. And fourthly, many Rangers live in remote and isolated communities where healthcare is hard to access. He said that many Rangers and their commanding officers cited poor access to mental health services in remote regions as a big worry. Members of the chain of command and of the Canadian Ranger community alike identified access to healthcare services as problematic, he said in his report. While on active service, Canadian Rangers are exposed to traumatic situations such as search and rescue operations. And he quoted one senior commander as saying, "We need to have something in place to help them." Also, Canadian Rangers are not formally screened for their physical fitness when they're recruited, so some suffer from medical conditions and would normally bar others from entering the Canadian Armed Forces. However, screening out such people could result in a big loss of knowledge, land skills, and expertise, he said. About 5,000 Canadian Rangers, divided up in among five patrol groups, serve in almost every province and territory of Canada. Many are from the Indigenous communities and come up to about 25 language groups. Vanguard is gearing up to host the Shipbuilding Technology Forum 2018. And this is an annual event that is produced by Vanguard Magazine to facilitate the discussion between government, military, and industry. This coming event is scheduled for March the 1st, 2018, and it will be held at the Shaw Center in Ottawa. It is a one-day event, and it's intended to showcase emerging technologies to address a range of marine and shipbuilding issues, as well as ship repair and the advantages they provide for growth and export. The overall aim of this event is to forge a better or meaningful dialogue between industry, government, and military so as to provide stakeholders with the knowledge and also to share lessons learned from the technological perspective with the aim to showcase successful investments in cutting-edge technologies. So by attending this upcoming event, this forum, you can learn about Canada's excellence in technical shipbuilding, also the impact on economic growth and export, and also to keep abreast with innovative technologies and strategies, and to gain expert insights on the market trends and challenges. For more information about this upcoming event, please go to our website, that's vanguardcanada.com. You can click on the ShipTech 2018 button on the menu bar. All right, well, thanks for joining us today on Vanguard Radio. I look forward to having you back next week for more information and insights on defense here in Canada. From the Vanguard team, this is Marcelo Sigdeo saying bye for now.